Don't you know we come this far?
Welcome to the History of Christianity podcast with Daniel White the Third. My name is Sneaqua Grace White, and I am the fourth oldest daughter of Daniel White the Third. We are glad that you have joined us today as Daniel White the Third helps believers understand the basics of Christian history.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the History of Christianity podcast, episode number 122. When I became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ some 35 years ago, I somehow had the false idea that Christianity began when I got saved. I had no concept of the hundreds of years of history that Christianity had gone through since the time of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ some 2,000 years ago when he walked on this earth. I have found that many believers, young and old, have the same false idea. The purpose of this broadcast, this podcast, is to dispel this notion by sharing with listeners the history of Christianity from the ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ all the way up until the present day in an easy-to-understand format. You don't have to worry. This is not a lecture. This is a look at the basic facts and figures of Christian history that I believe every believer and every person needs to be aware of. Our history of Christianity scripture passage for today is Hebrews 11:1, which reads, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Our history of Christianity quote for today is from Gary Chapman. He said, "The best thing we can do with the failures of the past is to let them be history." Good advice. Last time in the history of Christianity, we looked at the pagan reaction, Julian the Apostate, part one. Today, beloved, in the history of Christianity, we are looking at the pagan reaction, Julian the Apostate, part two, from Dr. Justo L. Gonzalez's fine book, The Story of Christianity, Volume 1. And he goes on to share, Constantius decided to set aside the bad experience he had with Gallus and called his one surviving relative to share his power, giving him the title of Caesar and appointing him to rule in Gaul. No one expected Julian, who had spent his life among books and philosophers, to be a great ruler, and in any case, Constantius granted him very little support. But Julian surprised his contemporaries. His administration in Gaul was exemplary, and when the occasion arose to lead a campaign against the barbarians, he proved that he was an able general and gained great popularity in the army. All of this was not entirely to Constantius's linking or liking. Rather, all of this was not entirely to Constantius's liking, for he feared that Julian might seek possession of the throne. tensions increased between the two cousins when Constantius, who was preparing a campaign against Persia, called the troops in Gaul to the east. They rebelled and proclaimed Julian Augustus, that is, supreme emperor. As soon as Constantius was free of the Persian threat, he marched against Julian and his rebellious troops. Pardon me. At the moment, war seemed unavoidable, and both sides were braced for it. Constantius died. Julian had no difficulty marching to Constantinople and claiming the rule of the whole empire. It was the year 361. Julian's first action was to seek revenge against those most responsible for his misfortunes, and against those who had sought to keep him away from the seat of power. To that end, he named a court that was theoretically independent, but that in truth responded to the wishes of the emperor. This court condemned several of his worst enemies to death. Apart from this, Julian was an able ruler who managed to establish order in the chaotic administration of his vast domains. Yet it is not for such actions that he is most remembered, but rather for his religious policy, which earned him the title by which history knows him, the apostate. Next time, beloved, we will look at the pagan reaction, Julian the apostate, Julian's religious policy, part one. Let's pray. And I would maybe call it part three. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us to learn from our Christian history as well as from history in general. And there is no history without it being His story, that is, your story. And so, Holy Father God, help us to learn from the foolishness of the past. Help us to learn from the sins of others. And help us to avoid disobeying you in any way. And give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we pray that one day you will say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." In Jesus Christ's name, I pray and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend, simply knowing the facts about Christian history without knowing the one on whom this faith is based will do you no good. If you do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, may I encourage you to get to know Him today. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Simply believe in your heart that the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins. He shed His blood for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can be a part of the church in this life, and in the life to come, live in heaven forever with God. Pray and ask Him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and He will do so. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Until next time, my beloved, please remember that history is truly his story. God bless you.